This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Lanny Zinkin's time in San Antonio and as running Solar San Antonio is coming to an end. From 2009 onward, he has been running the solar nonprofit that his father, Bill, started 15 years ago. And he has been a high-profile activist in the renewable energy sector in San Antonio. But before he goes off to Hawaii, we're going to have an exit interview here on The Source. What do you think about Lanny leaving? Is it a setback for the solar energy movement in San Antonio? Would you like to call in and just say a fond farewell, adios to Lanny Zinkin? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet us at @tprsource. Lanny, welcome back to The Source.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
And probably for the last time, I imagine, since you're shoving off. Tell me, well, people are really concerned about the solar movement in San Antonio. It has become a leader in the nation. People look to what's happening here as a role model, and people are wondering if your departure is going to leave San Antonio rudderless with this movement.
I don't think it's going to leave it rudderless at all. You are absolutely correct. San Antonio has become a national leader. We're like number six in the nation in the amount of solar we have online. And when the OCI project is finished, we'll probably be number three in the nation. And this is a source of great pride for CPS Energy. They're very happy to be a national leader in solar. They are proposing some new programs for distributed solar, that's solar on homes and businesses, that they think is going to dramatically expand distributed solar, and they would like to see San Antonio be number one in distributed solar as well. So I think in the utility you have a built-in positive bias towards solar. We've had our differences on how to pursue it, but I don't think there's ever been a fundamental difference about the fact that we should pursue it. It's just how to pursue it. And in terms of Solar San Antonio, we have a really engaged and intelligent and thoughtful board that has been thinking about how to move forward. What is the next step for Solar San Antonio? They're going to take their time. We'll be talking. I'm not leaving till January. We'll be talking over the next 6 weeks about programs to put into place and how to proceed from here. We have different things pending that will determine part of our direction. We actually have a major project proposal into CPS Energy. If they decide they want to do that, it'll be a huge boost for Solar San Antonio. If not, we have other programs that will equally move Solar San Antonio forward. I'm quite confident that a year from now you'll be seeing Solar San Antonio making a major contribution to the deployment of solar in San Antonio.
But the Zinkin brand, it's that's impossible to replicate. Of course, your dad, Bill, was, you know, he had the vision long before anyone else did about the power of solar and what can be done with it and how we can put it in the hands of more people. And then your mom, Faye, was out there, the first people in San Antonio to organize and to protect the aquifer. You know, you feel like, I don't know, Lanny, why are you doing to us?
You're going
to
make me cry here. Hold on. You know, I think both my mother and my father, if they were sitting here with us today, they would say we always taught our children to follow their passion, follow what they love, and do what made their heart sing. And that's what Hawaii was for me. I lived there for 17 years. I became deeply involved with it, everything from swimming to the dolphins to helping restore the Hawaiian nation. It was just my life was shaped around that. When my mother took ill in 2009, I came back to San Antonio to be with her. When she passed away, I decided to stay with my dad and work with him at Solar San Antonio. That was my service to this community and my parents, you know, for what they did for me. I'm now at the point where I feel I've been called to come back home to Hawaii. And I am quite confident that the momentum we have built for solar in San Antonio is going to continue full speed apace.
We're going to get deeper into Hawaii in a little bit and about the activities to restore the nation of Hawaii and how that is possible. But back to where we are with solar energy in San Antonio. So CPS Energy is continuing trying to refine the way that it works with homeowners. And we had an issue earlier in the year about the way that CPS wanted to charge access to the grid. So where are we on that now?
CPS has basically shelved any plans to put a fee on people who adopt solar. They're looking for other ways. Their challenge has been to be sure and recover enough money to pay their fixed costs. And because so many people were beginning to adopt solar, they were concerned that they wouldn't be able to do that. So they have developed a pilot program. They're going to issue a request for proposal in January for a pilot program that will involve major expansion of solar, but in a way that protects their recovery of fixed costs. And I don't want to get into all the details of how we don't even know quite what it's going to look like because they haven't issued the request for proposal yet. But we have a pretty good idea of what that model will be. And the rebate that's now in place is one of the most generous rebates in the country, $1.60 an AC watt. So if people are thinking about going solar, that rebate is in place through 2015. And then CPS would like to end it. We'll see if that's what happens. We have encouraged them to consider extending it because it's been a very successful program. But right now, if you want to do solar, you have the rebate of $1.60 an AC watt. You have a 30% federal tax credit. That's just for residences. In the commercial, you have those two things and you have depreciation. So if you're a commercial building and you're thinking about solar, right now with a rebate and the tax credit and depreciation, you can pay for your system in about 4 years. In a household, a residential system with the rebate and the tax credit, you can pay for your system in about 7 years, and the system's good for 25 or 30 years. We have a program, which we've been running since September of 2010, called Bring Solar Home. So people can apply to us. BringSolarHome.com is where the application is. We will assign three solar companies to that application. The companies will call, make an appointment, go out, do an assessment, and competitively bid for the business. It's been an extraordinarily successful program. We've had more than 1,200 applications. More than 200 solar installations go into place worth more than $7 million. And that program is still there and will be there through 2015 while the rebate lasts. If the rebate goes away, we might have to restructure that program. We will still be there to help people go solar.
But I suspect that had you not been so effective as an advocate for solar energy, that the CPS proposal that was floated a while ago, charging people for access to the grid, that would have gone through. But because you have the name and the brand and you understand your business and you understand how to get a message out to the media, that you were able to do something.
I don't disagree with that. I know that the organization, because Dad started that organization in 1999 when nobody knew anything about solar. So, 14 years into it, it has a good reputation. It's established a track record. It's looked to as a place for information, advice, and policy recommendations. So, yes, when CPS came up with the plan for the fee on solar, we did go talk to the city council, and I think CPS arrived at city council to find they had no votes. But that isn't the way we preferred to do it. That's just the way it came down. I think they've learned that lesson. That's not the way to go. That everybody sees that there's strong support for solar in the policymaking levels of San Antonio, and that goes back to when Phil Hardberger was mayor and Larry Zinn was there.
All right, we're talking with Lanny Sinkin, leaving San Antonio, leaving solar San Antonio. If you get a call, question about solar power or about the Kingdom of Hawaii and making it whole again, give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio was recently recognized as the leading city for solar power in Texas, and that is due in no small part to the efforts of Lanny Sinkin and his father, Bill. But Lanny is now moving on. He's abandoning San Antonio, I would say. No, he's moving on to Hawaii, and he's going to be taking on a new challenge there. We're talking about the future of solar in San Antonio, sans Lanny, and also about his plans for the future. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. So, Lanny, tell me about this Hawaii thing. I'm not familiar with the whole idea, but I know the concept is that basically the United States invaded a sovereign nation, the Kingdom of Hawaii, and took it over, appropriated it, and now there's a movement afoot to restore the kingdom.
Yes. So back in 1893, what happened as a precursor to the overthrow of the kingdom government was that the United States put a tariff on sugar coming from foreign countries. So the sugar growers in Hawaii were disadvantaged in the American sugar market because they had to pay the tariff. So they decided they would just abolish the nation of Hawaii and annex it to the United States so they wouldn't have to pay a tariff. They launched a campaign to overthrow the Queen, Queen Liliuokalani at the time. And the United States minister in Hawaii, without the permission or knowledge of the United States government, landed Marines, and the Queen stepped aside, basically saying, I'm stepping aside temporarily, and I'm counting on the righteous people of the United States to put me back on my throne, because this is an illegal act on with a country that we had a treaty of peace and friendship with. So there was an illegal overthrow that starts the ball rolling, and then it just keeps moving through the whole process of turning it into a territory and turning it into a state, annexing it to the United States, all of those things. There are repeated acts that come from that original illegal overthrow that are simply not legitimate. And in the eyes of thousands of Hawaiians, they are an occupied nation. The United States has moved in and heavily militarized their nation and occupied it and is running its government, has taken the resources that belong to the kingdom, the lands and the treasures of the kingdom, and used them for the occupying force, which is against international law. So there's a long history that has built up to this time of people feeling like it's time for the nation to be restored to its place in the community of nations. And I lived in Hawaii for 17 years. And shortly after I got there, I learned this history, and I got involved with groups that were working to restore the nation. Sovereignty movement is the term that's often applied to them. And about 9 years ago, I got involved with Edmund Kali'i Silva, Jr., who now thousands of people in the islands believe is the king who's come to restore the kingdom. I've been his chief advisor for many years, and we've worked together very closely on developing policies for what the nation will look like. I encourage people to go to the website, kingdomofhawaii.info, I-N-F-O, read the vision and the plan there. We think it's a very inspirational plan to create a sustainable nation, return Hawaii back to what it once was in terms of being a self-sustainable civilization that understood the natural processes. One of the things you see is just an indicator of how bad things have gotten. Now about 95% of the food that's eaten in Hawaii is imported, whereas before contact, 700,000, 800,000 people were supported without imports. So it's been turned upside down and made non-sustainable. Part of the goal of the restored kingdom will be to make it a sustainable nation once again, and a non-aligned nation, so that it can offer services in peacemaking to the rest of the world. Part of the vision put forward by the king is to establish a peace center in Hawaii to try and achieve what the United Nations has not been able to achieve, to keep the peace among the human family. So there's a real dedication to that as a major part of what the restored kingdom would do. And there are ancient Hawaiian techniques of conflict resolution, ho'oponopono, that can be used to help people who are on the verge of conflict or involved in conflict and try and mitigate those conflicts or end those conflicts. So it's a very big agenda that the king has put forward for what the nation will do. To me, it's very inspirational and very exciting.
So your view is that Hawaii is never was part of the United States, right?
In all kinds of ways. Not only was the overthrow illegal, if you look at the process by which Hawaii was supposedly annexed, one of the presidents of the United States submitted an annexation treaty to the Senate for ratification. They could not get the votes. The next president withdrew the annexation treaty and said they could not get the votes because everyone understood it was an illegal overthrow and they should be restoring the Hawaiian government. That didn't happen. Instead, they passed a joint resolution of the Senate and House in the United States government annexing Hawaii. Well, just on its face, I think you can see, you know, if the French Parliament passed a resolution annexing the United States, it would be meaningless because a resolution of the French Parliament only applies in France. The same thing is true of the United States. The resolution that was passed was a United States resolution that only applies within the United States. They can't annex a foreign country.
Right. So then if Hawaii is not part of the United States, then Barack Obama is an illegal alien.
Well, they'll have to deal with that.
Okay, that's a different issue.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so we're talking with Lanny Sinkin. He is well known around San Antonio as working with Solar San Antonio, an organization founded by his father, and for a long time has been an advocate for solar energy in the city, has helped put solar on many, many roofs in San Antonio. He is wrapping up his tenure here in San Antonio and moving back to Hawaii, and he is going to help work on the sovereignty movement there. If you got a question about any of these issues, we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 210-614-8980. We do have some callers, so let's get Bill on the line. Welcome, Bill. You're on The Source. Go ahead.
Nice. Bill, not Bill. Why has been, what, 50 years that it's been a state in this country, of this country? Why is now the time to reverse all that? And is there popular support for that among Native Hawaiians?
An excellent question. You know, the time to reverse that was 1893 when it happened. It never should have happened. So when it finally is achieved will be just when it's finally achieved. People have been trying. There are people in Hawaii today, if you ask them, who do you work for, they say Queen Liliuokalani. They still relate back to the queen before she was overthrown as their true government, and that there hasn't been a true government since then. As to whether there's broad support in Hawaii for restoring the nation, there's been a very interesting change in the last 6 months, I would say, in Hawaii. Prior to that, what we had was the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, which is a state agency of the state of Hawaii, and gets many of the a great deal of money from lands that belong to the kingdom government that were taken and made part of the state of Hawaii. And those monies are spent supposedly to help the Hawaiian people, the people of Hawaiian ancestry. What they've been doing is spending millions of dollars over many years to try and get a law passed in the United States Congress or otherwise achieve that end elsewhere to create a nation within a nation, to give the native Hawaiians some land, some money, some autonomy, and basically create an Indian reservation and get them off into that reservation and shut them up once and for all about getting their kingdom back. One of the distinctions that's important to note is the kingdom had citizens who were not of Hawaiian ancestry as well. French, Japanese, Chinese, all kinds of people were citizens of the kingdom. They all lost their government when the kingdom was overthrown, not just those of Hawaiian ancestry. So most recently, the Departments of Interior and Justice came out to Hawaii to hold hearings on whether the United States Department of Interior should issue a rule to facilitate the creation of this nation within a nation. And they held hearings in all the islands. More than 1,000 people showed up to those hearings. And of those who showed up, I would say 95% said, we want our nation back. We're not interested in nation within a nation.
Okay. Tracy on Twitter, Tracy Idle Hamilton, tweeted, listening to Solar San Antonio's Departing Lanny Sinkin. She says he's a class act, strong advocate for solar. Thank you, Tracy, for that.
Thank you, Tracy, and it's been a pleasure working with you.
Well, how did CPS Energy react when they found out that you were leaving?
I've gotten some very kind and warm-hearted messages from executives at CPS, you know, acknowledging that we had our differences and, you know, we butted heads, but that they always felt that I was a legitimate champion for solar and represented my organization well, and they were happy to have had the experience of working with me on all these issues.
Okay, let's get Lou on the line. Lou, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you so much. And I wanted to ask you, recently I had a solar contractor. I contacted them. I'm a resident here in San Antonio and tried to get solar for my house. It turns out that my 700-square-foot roof surface, because of the fire code setbacks, is what I was told, was reduced down to 200 square feet, and that sort of made the project undoable.
Right.
Is that accurate?
There has been a new code adopted that requires a setback from the edge that will give the firefighters a place to walk if there is a fire. And it can reduce your roof size substantially. We do have a solution for this. Actually, CPS has a solution for this. CPS issued a request for proposals on October 9th, I believe it was, for what's called community solar. So this is where you build a big facility. In this case, it'll be a 1-megawatt facility. And you offer to people who cannot put solar on their home for whatever reason or their business the opportunity to buy panels in this remote project and get credit for the energy generated by the panels they own in the remote project. So this will open up solar for people who rent, people who have too many trees, or like you, people who have too small a roof to really support a sufficient amount of solar, to go and buy panels in this remote facility and get all the benefits. Again, it'll pay for itself in about 7 or 8 years because you're getting the benefits of the generation from the panels you buy. It also opens it up to a much broader income strata of people who can get into solar because you can buy just one panel. You don't have to put in a whole solar system like you would do on your home.
And you can take it with you if you move to another location?
You own that panel, so it doesn't move. It stays on that remote facility, but it's not tied to your household residence.
Okay, real quickly, one more caller. Dan has called in. Dan, welcome to The Source.
Good afternoon. after that dissertation about Hawaii, it's kind of little questions, it seems like now. The question is net metering. Is that available with now?
Yes.
I know it is in other parts of the world, but I didn't know it was with CPS.
No, okay. We are net metered right now. When you generate a kilowatt hour of solar, you get a credit against 1 kilowatt hour of solar you buy from CPS. So you're basically getting retail credit in a net metering system, which is one of the reasons that it's now is a really good time to do solar.
Now, what about smart meters? There's been some controversy. Alamo Heights, they're fighting smart meters. Now, you're leaving San Antonio. You can say exactly what you think about the smart meter situation.
You know, I've read a lot of reports. I looked at a lot of information. I think there are some serious issues with smart meters.
Like what?
The signals that they send off, the potential for fire, that there have been some things that have been documented. I'm not sure in my own mind how many of these things are because the equipment was defective or the installation was defective, and how many are just intrinsic to this technology. But I have total respect for people who believe that this is not a safe technology and don't want it in their home. I respect that view.
All right, Lanny Sinkin, thank you so much. Leaving San Antonio, leaving Solar San Antonio after many years feeding the building the solar movement here in the city. And a fond farewell to you, buddy.
Well, thank you very much for having me on.
Okay, this is The Source on KSTX, and we will be back after the NPR news and a local news break talking about undercover work in the DEA and how drug money is funding terrorism around the world. This is The Source on KSTX. Stay tuned.